Matt, before we begin the show, I always like, do you watch like the Discovery Channel and stuff like that?
Well, sure. Yeah. Very educational. I enjoy it.
And I always love the insights about nature and everything. I think they kind of affirm God as creator and everything. It's kind of, I just have a really interesting thing about penguins. And
everybody
loves penguins.
Oh, yeah. Love penguins. Okay. My kids love penguins.
Yeah, so I saw this and I thought, well, I thought people would like to hear this. Did you ever wonder why there are no dead penguins on the ice in Antarctica? Where do they go?
That's a good question. I've never wondered that. But
yeah. But, well, you see the TV shows all the time. You never see any dead penguins. They're all
they're always alive, yeah.
Well, here's the reason. Here's the answer. And this is really fascinating. Let me read it to you. Wonder no more. It is a known fact that the penguin is a very ritualistic bird which lives an extremely ordered and complex life.
Okay.
The penguin is very committed to its family and will mate for life. You saw the penguin movie, didn't
you?
Oh,
yeah. It's moving. Yeah, yeah, the commitment. It's wonderful.
They're very committed to their family, and they maintain a form of compassionate contact with their offspring throughout its life. If a penguin is found dead on the ice surface, other members of the family and social circle have been known to dig holes in the ice using their vestigial wings and beaks until the hole is deep enough for the dead bird to be rolled into and buried.
Is that right? Something? They take the time to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, no, this is the touching part. Because then the male penguins all gather in a circle around the fresh grave and sing, "Freeze a jolly good fellow, freeze a jolly good fellow.
Freeze.
Freeze a jolly good
fellow." Is that right?
I'm really, really sorry, Matt. I'm really, truly
That's not from the Discovery Channel, is it?
No.
We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah, again, I do want to apologize for that, Matt, but I got that email, and I'm suckered into it. I'm reading it, thinking, wow, this is really fascinating about the penguins, and then it comes to the end. Freeze a jolly good
fellow. Yeah, and I'm thinking, we're making things up. Oh, boy.
Hit that sound effect again, Matt. There you go. All right, that's enough music. Thank you. Shut up.
The orchestra just keeps on playing.
So I know they just keep going on and on and on. We have some serious business we do want to share with you because we're continuing our look at the Witch at Endor. But before we do this, I want to share with our listeners something that happened immediately as we were beginning to do our recording for this particular episode. First of all, we couldn't get into the studio because someone else was using the studio we had scheduled. And that's okay because this particular fellow is leaving and he's getting paid for this, and he's got work he's got to do, right?
Yeah,
we're volunteers, so if we don't do anything, really, it doesn't make any difference. But he actually has show prep that he has to get done because he's getting paid for it. We come down to the second studio, and there's another gal in here working really hard, too, and we're thinking, well, what are we going to do? We drove all the way over here. But she was very, very generous. She finished up what she had to do in about 5-10 minutes and said, well, come on in. You know, I can come back down here. I'll finish it up. So Matt and I think, well, okay, we're set. We're going to record this episode of Wrestling with the Basics. We get everything set up on the board. We're getting better at this, Matt, slowly but surely.
We're getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just two pastors.
And so we press the record button, and it says, audio rejected by server. And we have no idea what that is. And so we call the tech guy.
It doesn't sound good, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously it isn't, because we're not doing any recording. And Buzz comes down, and Buzz is the expert, and he can't get it to work. And he tries loading different episodes and changing settings, and it's still audio rejected by server. So finally, we just had to shut the whole thing down, reboot, as the computer geeks say. And now we are actually live on air with you here with Wrestling with the Basics. By the way, I am Jolly John Lekumsky, and this is
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
Okay, but here's the thing. So we were thinking, and I jokingly said, "Well, maybe God doesn't want us to record today. Maybe that's what it's all about." And then, what was your response?
I said, "Or maybe the other guy doesn't want us to record today."
And I just wanted to share with you, because this is the thing we wrestle with. Our plans go awry, and so often we do think, well, maybe God's punishing us, or maybe I'm doing something God doesn't want. But then again, as you pointed out, Matt, maybe it's not. Maybe we're doing the right thing. Maybe we have a word that God really wants us to get out, but the devil's doing everything he can to hinder us. I remember from years ago, do you remember Dr. Norman Nagel?
Sure. Yeah. I used to be a professor at the Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis.
Yeah. And he was actually speaking to one of our conferences, and apparently he has like false teeth or something. He has something in his mouth. I don't know. What do they call that? Partial.
Dentures,
or something.
Partial.
Well, whatever. Sure. He got his tongue stuck in his partial.
Oh, no.
So he couldn't talk, and he couldn't get his tongue unstuck, you know, which is kind of funny. This very elderly and very wise man.
Yeah.
Distinguished. That's the word. Couldn't get his tongue out. But I'll never forget that episode, because he said, maybe God doesn't want me to give this presentation. But then he says, we don't know, because we don't have a word of God. And that always impressed me. People, don't ever judge anything on the basis of the circumstances, good or bad. You know, just because things are going along real well for you, that doesn't mean necessarily you're doing what God wants.
Yeah.
That was the attitude of the Pharisees and the scribes, wasn't it? Hey, God's blessed us. We got lots of money. We must be righteous people in God's sight. And Jesus says, no, you're whited sepulchers. That's what you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the blind leading the blind. That's what you are. So again, I just share that with you. Don't ever judge today what goes on, either bad or good. You just stick with the Word of God. And that's what we're going to share with you today, is what the Word of God says. And it has some wonderful things to say to us, particularly in those times when things aren't working out the way we planned.
You bet.
That doesn't mean that God isn't doing his thing and that God isn't using us. It just means we live in a sinful world and computers are stupid, Matt.
And Roland Lettner was lucky we didn't raid Studio A and take over the Bible study.
That's right. We were going to just kick them out and take over, but no.
I think we could have taken it. There's two of us. There's only one of him, right?
Sorry. Well, but he had that Pastor Steve Tyson.
Oh, that guest pastor.
He's a professional wrestler. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Enough of this, because we have to get on to the Word of God, things that we know for sure. The Witch of Endor. Why don't you pick us up?
All right. Very good. But talking about circumstances and circumstances not always being good, that's where we find Saul here. So last week, if you remember back, we had Martin Luther as a guest. And then we also talked about the Witch of Endor, big show. And it starts off with Saul being in a predicament here. He's the first king of Israel, and the Philistines are coming, and things don't look good. He's outnumbered. He's worried about whether he's going to win the battle or not, whether the Israelites will be victorious. But not only that, perhaps even worse, it sounds like God is silent, or at least seems to be silent to Saul. So that ties into all this, too, what we were just talking about. So Saul, in his desperation, doesn't look to the certain word of God, to a prophet or anything like that. Instead, he turns, unfortunately, to this medium, this witch, you might call her, in Endor. So he goes to this witch, and he asks her to conjure up someone for him, a spirit, someone who had died. And remember who he wanted her to conjure up?
Samuel. Right, Samuel. So Samuel was the go-to guy before he died.
Yes, yeah. So Samuel, this faithful servant of the Lord, a prophet, the one who actually anointed Saul to be king in the first place. And Saul, in desperation, wants to talk to Samuel again. Didn't have much need for him
during the end of
Samuel's life. When he's alive.
Yeah.
But now that he's gone, here he is, wanting to consult Samuel. So, last week we talked about how this witch seems to have conjured up the spirit of Samuel, and he has a message for Saul. So let's review that message. And right here, Samuel, or this spirit at least, is speaking directly to Saul from the grave, it appears, conjured up out of this pit by this witch. And here, beginning in verse 15, so we're in 1 Samuel 28, verse 15 and following.
Right,
okay, great.
Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul answered, I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines.
All right. So probably not the message that Saul had hoped for, huh?
But does clarify something. Please understand what I said before. You cannot necessarily judge on what's happened in your life, whether God loves you or not. But if you choose to go against the clear word of the Lord, you can figure there'll be consequences. Yeah, you can kind of figure, yeah, that's, you know, you commit adultery and you end up with some sexually transmitted disease. Probably that's a consequence of what you did.
God knows what he's talking about. That's amazing. And I tell that, I try to get that across to my confirmation students, midweek students especially, that the Lord knows what he's talking about. When we look at the Ten Commandments, if we follow the word of God, his law, things are going to go better for us.
That's right. That's the promise. It'll be well with you, he says in the Fourth Commandment.
Great example.
And of course, the thing is here, too, so he's disobeyed God, and he continues to disobey God because God said, no, I don't want you to go to the necromancers. I don't want you to go to the witches and the mediums and stuff like that. That's not, you come to me. Listen to my word, not to some false, you know, whatever, spiritualist here. So anyway, why did he expect something good would come out of doing that when it's a direct disobedience to the word of God? I'm sorry.
And he's breaking the second commandment here. He's not honoring the Lord's name. Instead, he's using the Lord's name and using the witch to go against the Lord, to consult this necromancer, this sorceress, this witch, whatever you want to call her, and try to get a word from the Lord that way.
So in other words, the point we're making is what Saul should have done is when the Lord did not respond to him, he should have repented, and he should have said, Lord, I understand why you're not responding to me, because I've sinned. I've done all these things wrong. And then it might have been a whole different situation. But there is no repentance here. He's still trying to call the shots.
You bet. And I think that in our own prayer life, when we seek the will of the Lord, when we pray to him, when we don't maybe get the answer we want or the time we want, that doesn't mean that we just run off to some other source, to some witch or someone else, to get a speedier reply. No, we still trust the word of the Lord. We look to his written word in the Bible, and we continue to come to him in prayer and repentance.
You know, and that's interesting, too, because what did he want from Samuel? Tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And I think that is our response, too. When things don't go the way we want, we automatically assume, well, there's something we've got to do. Whereas, as you just pointed out, maybe what we need to do is just wait on the Lord, as it says repeatedly in the Old Testament. Just be patient. Ask yourself, are you doing something that's really dumb and stupid? Maybe you should repent and stop doing that. That's true. If you're hitting your head on a brick wall, maybe you should stop doing that. But outside of that, maybe you ought to just keep praying to the Lord, pray without ceasing and trust in him, and who knows how this thing may work out.
You bet. You bet. And that's, we fear, love, and trust in God above all things, and we look to him for guidance, for strength, and Saul's doing just the opposite.
Yep.
Instead,
yep.
he's fearing and trusting in this word from this sorceress more than from the Lord.
But I know that's not really the big question you wanted to wrestle with today, right?
So, yeah, the question I want to wrestle with is this really Samuel?
Ooh.
Is this spirit that appears to be Samuel? But earlier we hear that he has the appearance of an old man. He's wearing a robe. But is that enough for it to really be Samuel? And the message here, it sounds pretty good. It sounds kind of Samuel-like, really. Confirms what Samuel said earlier to Saul. He says that he is going to lose the kingdom to David, that they're going to lose against the Philistines. The Spirit also says that tomorrow Saul is going to die.
Yep, yep.
And if you read ahead, guess what happens?
Saul dies.
Saul dies.
Yep, yep.
The Philistines beat the Israelites, and chapters later, David is reigning as king. So the word of the Spirit actually does happen. So what's the deal? Is it really Saul or not? Samuel or not?
I have my opinion.
Okay.
And by the way, I think we need to say that. I don't know that the Bible explicitly, although we can probably make some strong arguments. So what's your take on it, Matt?
Well, you're right. The Bible doesn't explicitly say, and even reading people like Luther, he acknowledges that. He says, here, Scripture's silent on whether it's definitively Samuel or not the prophet. So what would be some of the... If we're saying, yes, this is Samuel, what would be some of the points of argument for it being Samuel?
Well, for me, the chief point would be, I think somewhere in the Bible it says the test of all prophecy is simply this. If it comes true, it's from the Lord. If it doesn't come true, then, you know, it was a lie from Satan or one of his agents.
Yeah, and, you bet.
So to me, the strongest argument would be exactly what the Spirit here, Samuel, says is exactly what happens. And so, yeah, I would say that means that this message is coming from God.
Yeah, so there's a point in the favor of Samuel. The word becomes true. Yeah, that's a pretty good test. It's the same message Samuel had. It happens. It comes to fruition. So, yeah, good. So what about against it being Samuel? Against it being Samuel, perhaps maybe an evil spirit of some sort talking here?
Well, I mean, the argument for that would be because this is just totally outside of the way God has said we were supposed to contact him. God has said he would reveal himself through his word and by no other means. And like you say, Saul has done something that God has strictly forbidden. In fact, originally Paul enforced that, driving all of these witches or mediums out of the kingdom. So that would be, how could God possibly be speaking through what is obviously an evil and wicked thing?
This evil means of going about doing this. Yeah. And the other thing is, I think, can demons, I mean, do they know the truth? Well, in some respects, they do. I mean, the demons even recognize in the New Testament Jesus, that he's a Savior. Now, can they predict the future? Can they tell the future? I'm not so sure. But
well, and see, there's the thing. That's what Paul warns us. He says, he talks about how the angel of darkness can take on the appearance of the angel of light. So you're right. So a demon could look
deceive.
Like Samuel, could look just exactly like him.
Yeah.
But see, it's that future business.
Yeah.
Because you're right. The Bible does say, so you believe in God. Well, even the demons believe that. So they know the presence of God. But whether they could actually predict the future, that I don't believe.
Yeah. And Satan's in the business of lying. He is the father of lies. And so perhaps that's what he's doing here.
Did you see the light bulb? Did you see the light bulb go on, Matt? Because I'm thinking if this really was of the devil, then he would have said, oh, don't worry about it, Saul. You got it made, buddy.
Go out there and fight
because everything's going to go all right.
Yeah.
In fact, don't even bother to wear your shield. You know, you don't need any armor because you're just going to wipe them all out. Yeah. I'm thinking that's what the devil would have said.
Well, that's very true. Yeah, and we see that with other kings. The false prophets in the Old Testament are telling the kings, go ahead and go out and fight. The victory's going to be yours. And usually the faith was just saying, well, not so fast. Wait a second here. No, it's not going to be all peaches and cream. And they're honest.
That's right. The prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
On down the line. So what do you make of it? Well, the one thing Luther says, and I think this is a comment worth making.
Let's actually get a smart guy in here. That's a good thought.
Yeah, since he's not here again with us this week, Martin Luther, we'll just have to quote him this time around. But I like what he says here. Well, he acknowledges in what I'm reading here first that the Bible, again, doesn't explicitly say whether it's Samuel or not. But then he goes on to say, how should the sorcerers have power over the saints who rest securely in the hands of God? And that's something that I've really wrestled with. Because if this is Samuel, and Samuel's a prophet of the Lord who died in the faith, I think we can safely presume he's with the Lord.
Yes.
Does Satan have, and does the sorceress have power over someone who's died in the faith to pull him out of paradise and have him appear here and speak to Saul? So that's something I wrestle with, too. And I would tend to say, well, no, Satan and this sorceress does not have the power over the those who have died in the faith to do that.
And yet, from the other standpoint, Samuel and the Lord would certainly have the power, if they wanted to, for Samuel to come back and speak, regardless of who might be calling them to come and speak. I think of the high priest, wasn't it Caiaphas, who prophesied that it's better for one man to die for the people. And that, of course, wasn't coming from him.
That was coming from the Lord. Very good.
But he was the high priest. And so even though he was an evil, wicked man actually planning to kill the Son of God, God used him. So, I mean, that could be that angle here, too. But you're right. Certainly what Saul thought, that this medium could call back spirits from the dead. Now, that's just baloney. No. She has no control.
Yeah.
But God, on the other hand, if he wanted to send Samuel back, just like he, of course, sent Elijah and Moses to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, he can do that if he wants. Sure.
Yeah. So, I think that's the bottom line. We don't look to witches, to fortune tellers, to sorceresses to get a word from God. But if the Lord chose to to get his word across through her in this instance, I guess he could.
Although I'm thinking, you know, yeah, if you want to go ahead and use mediums and sorcerers and stuff so that they can come and tell you you're going to die, yeah, that probably would work. Right. That would work. Yeah, but if you're expecting them to come and tell you that God is a God of mercy and love, and if you would repent, he would receive you in forgiveness. Now, you probably won't ever get that message from any sorcerer or any medium.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the truth.
What you can get is the message of the law. They're capable of preaching that. And if you think about most fortune tellers, that's what it's all about, isn't it? They don't ever tell you, don't worry, trust the Lord, repent, and have faith. No, they'll tell you, you need to do this, or you need to be worried about this. Yeah.
So if you really want forgiveness and life and salvation and real hope and real joy in your life, you're going to find it in the Lord.
That's right.
And that's
nowhere
the only
else.
Place.
Nowhere else.
Good. So just for the sake of our time together right now, just to assume that maybe this is an evil spirit.
Okay.
That last message that the spirit gives is what? What does he say there? That last verse, verse 19.
Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. That's pretty powerful. Yeah. I didn't see that.
So think about that. So if it's Samuel, that's kind of comforting. I'll be with the Lord. But if this is an evil spirit that's deceiving here, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me.
But, you know, Matt, I'm sorry, but you've actually caused me to flip-flop now, because I'm thinking on the context of that and the ominousness of that, it probably was. But again, isn't it amazing? Because if this is an evil spirit, it's God in control.
Yeah.
It's God who's given him the words to speak. These aren't coming from him, but this is coming from the Lord, even as he used wicked high priest Caiaphas. Yeah. I guess God could use the devil for his purposes, too. But again, there's the same thing. Not to tell you anything good, because the devil would never, ever do that. And in fact, here's why the devil would never, ever do that. Because if the devil told you something good, you're not going to believe it. He's a liar. So no, we want the devil. God doesn't want the devil speaking the gospel for him. But I suppose the devil can't come and speak the law and speak condemnation.
Yeah, I suppose so. And I would think of Job and how God even allows the devil, Satan, to do certain things in Job's life in that instance. And in the end, the Lord, of course, blesses Job and Job points him as his redeemer. But in this case, I think this is another maybe point for it being an evil spirit, perhaps, because Scripture is pretty clear that at this point, Saul's, he's fallen away from the faith. I mean, by all outward appearances. Yeah. And today, you and your sons will be with me, And that's what happens.
But Matt, can you see that ironically, God is actually still acting in love towards Saul? Because this is his last shot.
Yeah.
The next day he's going to die.
Yeah.
And how easy would have been God to say, you're a wicked, evil guy. Go ahead and die. Go to hell. Yeah. I don't care. But he's actually, through an evil spirit, because I'm convinced, you have convinced me now, this is an evil spirit that God is using. But he's trying to convince Saul, you need to repent, buddy. Your day of judgment is coming. It's coming real soon. And I am a God of faithfulness, and I am a God of mercy. You're not going to get the kingship back. That's a done deal. I've already spoken my word, and it's going to go to your neighbor David. But salvation is still yours, Saul. It's easy as you saying, Lord, I have sinned. Will you remember me in paradise? That's all he needs to
do. Isn't that something? That beautiful example, that thief on the cross who, in his dying breaths even, trusts in the Lord. Yeah. So anyway, I think you're right. A last chance of grace here, God's grace being sown to Saul. Unfortunately, we don't know for sure what it became of Saul. And we do know that he does die in battle with his sons and even falls on his own sword, commits suicide.
Let's talk about that next week. I know we had other plans, but suicide is a subject that I think a lot of people wrest with. So do you mind coming back and we'll talk about suicide in general?
You bet.
And this has been kind of a scary episode, continuing our whole Halloween theme. But I do think there is actually mercy in this, that in his last days, God is still reaching out for a man who is otherwise evil.
You bet. Always the Lord's mercy is still present in any of these accounts, and thanks be to God for that. All right, we'll see you next week.
Two simple words can determine your family's schedule, yes or no. I'm John Fuller for Focus on the Family, and if you're feeling overwhelmed, you may be saying yes too often. Discover the positive power of saying no and setting healthy, balanced boundaries for your busy family on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO.
This is Table Talk with Pastors Brent Kuhlman and Scott Porek.
Welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat as Pastor Brent Kuhlman and myself, Pastor Scott Porth. Well, we're just going to get real practical today, Brent. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, we've been talking about husbands and wives, and now we're on to the office of wife, if you will. And last time, you might remember that we heard those words from Titus chapter 2, where the early church taught the older women were to teach what is good and train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So, and we just kind of touched on this a little bit. Vocation of the older women, to train the younger women to love their husbands. And of course, that's in the way of Ephesians 5, isn't it, Brent?
Right.
So that's an important. Can we come up with some concrete ways in which that happens?
Yeah, there are a number of things I think we could talk about. As we all know, we're all sinners. That's sin.